And remember as you do, this is God's holy word. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. So in Ephesians, it's put off. Here, it's put them away. Same thing. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now back to Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Last week, the sermon was taken from the text, and it was on bitterness. Today, we're going upstream from bitterness. What flows down and becomes bitterness? Anger. So today, we're looking at the upstream thing, anger. Here's the title: putting off anger, putting on patient, self-controlled, problem solver. I'll explain that later. Bow with me and let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time in your holy word. We pray that it would prove powerful and effectual to draw sinners to the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would use your word to carve out of us, your people, what is displeasing to you, what is not bringing you honor and glory and blessing and praise, and that you would build into us the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. So we are people who believe that there is a true and a living God. Incidentally, the more science finds out about the universe, the greater is the evidence that there must be an intelligent designer who is also all-powerful, all-knowing, and exists outside of the cosmos. That's God. We believe there's a God. We believe he's the God of the Bible. Don't have time. This is a sermon on anger, not on that. Don't have time to go there today. We believe there's a great God. We believe he's the God of the Bible. We believe he manifested itself on the earth. He came in the person of God the Son, second person of the Holy Trinity, and he was manifest and made known to us. We believe that we are sinners and need to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus. There is salvation in the cross. There's everlasting life. There's the free gift of pardon found through Christ and his bloodletting on the cross of Calvary. But now, as his redeemed people, we want to live lives that bring him honor and glory and blessing and praise. We want to live lives that bless other people. And so that's what we're in today. We're in what is called sanctification. How does the believer become more like Christ? How do I become more holy? What do I need to put off? Well, how do I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind? And what do I need to put on? And the thing we're looking at putting off today is anger. And the thing we're looking at putting on is patient, self-controlled, problem solver. Anger. All right, here's a quiz question for you. No trick. So who is the first person in the Bible revealed as or said to be angry? Cain. I heard some Cain. It is Cain. It is Cain. We're in Genesis chapter 4. I'll put it up for you. Here it is. Here's what happened. First guy said to be angry in the Bible. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Notice how his offering is characterized. It's just an offering. You're going to see a contrast with the one that his brother brought. He just brought an offering. Whatever cost him little, whatever cost him nothing, whatever lay at hand, whatever he could grab with ease, he went to the junk drawer of his life, grabbed the first thing that was lying on the top, and said, "There, I'll give this to God." He gave to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Contrast. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Abel gave God the best right off the top. He gave God that which cost him something. And so consequently, we're not surprised, and the Lord had regard for Abel, the person, and his offering, but for Cain, the man, and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. First guy in the Bible. Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Let's notice some things from the text while we're doing this little opening case study in anger. Notice it says he was very angry. What do we learn from that? Anger knows of degrees, right? You can be a little angry. You can be very angry. And over this one thing, Cain was very angry. We have a word for very angry. It's wrath. We have another word for very angry. It's rage. That's where Cain was. Notice also the object of Cain's anger. With whom was he angry? God. There was a perceived injustice on his part, and he thought the unjust actor was God. It's not fair. Why did you receive my brother's offering but not mine? Why do you receive him and not me? You're unjust, God. He was angry with God. Do humans still get angry with God? Well, you bet they do. Why didn't God give me that thing that I wanted? How come he gave it to them but not to me? Why won't God take away from me this thing that he did give me and I don't want? Why won't he take it away? They don't have to deal with this. I have to deal with this. People become angry with God, knowing in their heart of hearts, knowing in their soul, that ultimately it is God. It is God who is the sovereign of the universe. It is God who is working all things in your life and mine according to the counsel of his will. The buck stops on God's desk. It was God. So Cain was angry with God. Let me just point out to you, it is never a good idea to be angry with God. Anytime you're angry with God, you're the unjust one, God is just. Anytime you're angry with God, you're the selfish one. I want, you didn't give me. Or I didn't want, but you gave me. Anytime you're angry with God, it's because you're being the selfish one. You don't want the will of God, you want the will of me, of yourself, me, myself, and I. Notice you can see anger on the face. It says here, his face fell. See, when you're smiling, your face is up. And when you're angry, your face falls. His face fell. Some people, I say it graciously, I hope, some people are so angry so much of the time, their face cannot be but fallen. It is so habituated to, it's so practiced and their face is fallen all the time, and you see them and you know, that's an angry person. What was the direct cause, again, of Cain's anger? It was a perceived injustice on the part of God. Really, it was Cain's fault. His offering was subpar. His offering was not acceptable. His offering was cheap. Cost him little, cost him nothing. But he was angry at God. All right, we'll leave our case study, and here I have a question for you. I'll put it up. So here's the question. Is anger always sinful, or are some kinds of anger allowed in God's word? How many of you think that's always evil, always wrong? Huh? How many of you think some kinds are allowed? How many of you did not raise your hand? Yeah, a bunch of you, all right? I'm happy to tell you that from the word of God, there is such a thing as righteous anger. In God's word, in the Bible, some anger is righteous anger. Some anger is not sinful anger. It is possible to be angry and not fall into sin. There is righteous anger. How do we know that? Well, let me show you some scriptures. We'll start with God. We know it because God has righteous anger. Psalm 7 and verse 11 reads, God is angry with the wicked every day, and he's just to be. With wicked people who want nothing to do with him, though he created them and made them and gives them their life and breath and all things richly to enjoy, but they stiff arm him and ignore him. That makes God angry, righteously angry. Quiz question. How many think God sins when he's angry? None, right? No, when God's anger is righteous anger. So there is such a thing. We see this in God the Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Mark 3:5, the Pharisees were doing their thing, looking for a way to accuse him. Here's what we read. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. He looked at them with anger. You could see the anger on his face. What would that look like if you have God the Son looking at you with anger? Tremble in your boots. Foretaste of judgment day. And he was grieved at their hardness of heart. Is the anger of our Lord Jesus here righteous anger? Of course it is. He's God in human flesh. He's the Holy One. He's always just and righteous in all his ways. How about humans? Can humans have righteous anger? Yeah, I'll give you an example. Nehemiah, back in the day of Nehemiah, 400 BC, there's injustice in the land. These people are treating those people very badly, real injustice, not just imagined injustice. And it says in Nehemiah 5:6 of him, I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. He was angry because of actual injustice. These people treating those people very badly. And that's just. God was angry at that, and Nehemiah joined him. Nehemiah was angry at real injustice. One more text that shows us some kinds of anger are not sinful is Ephesians 4:26. It says, be angry and do not sin. So it's possible to have a kind of anger and a time of anger that falls short of sin, that doesn't move you forward into a transgression. It's possible to have anger and not sin. When might it turn to sin? Do not let the sun go down on your anger if it lingers too long. We'll see that later. And give no opportunity to the devil to make you bitter and to start damaging relationships because of your anger and your bitterness. But here there's anger that doesn't fall into the category of sin. Be angry and do not sin. So there is such a thing as righteous anger. God the Father has it. God the Son has it. Nehemiah had it. And you can have it. Be angry and do not sin. But before you claim that all of your anger is righteous anger, let's ask a question. Here it is. When is our anger unrighteous? And the simple answer, I think, is most of the time. Would you agree? Most of the time. Even when we have a righteous cause for our anger, we're such a mix. You're a saint because you're in Christ and you're holy in Christ in the sight of God, but you also have remaining sin. And that mix of the remaining sin can taint even your righteous anger. It's hard to claim there's nothing unrighteous about my anger. Very hard to claim that. But simple answer is most of the time. This is perhaps why some scriptures, many actually, seem to categorically forbid all anger. The Bible doesn't forbid all anger. Some kinds are righteous. You can be angry and not sin. It's not all forbidden. But so much of our anger is tainted, at least, with sinfulness, if not sinful in the whole, that there are a number of passages that make it sound like all anger is off limits. Let me show you an example. Matthew 5:22. Jesus is talking. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Categorically. No exceptions, no footnote. If you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. Well, wait, my anger might be righteous judgment. Yeah, but so much of human anger isn't that I'm just saying it categorically. Yours is probably bad. Or Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger categorically and forsake wrath en toto. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. So I'm to refrain from anger, 100%. Forsake wrath, 100%. This categorically seems to forbid anger. Or back to our verse, Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Seems to categorically forbid all anger, all wrath. But we've seen that some anger is righteous. God the Father, God the Son, Nehemiah, and you in Ephesians 4, be angry, don't sin. So how do I know when my anger is which? How does Scripture delineate for me when can I recognize, my anger has moved into the sin category? Let me give you some helps. Help number one, when it's too frequent. Well, actually, first, let me say, back up one slide. Anger is unrighteous in general when it's unregulated. Human anger must be regulated. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, and the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And if your anger is out of control, and you are out of control, and there's nothing about you that could be called patient, And when your anger is not tempered by wisdom, you're being more wise than you are anger, and your wisdom is tempering your anger and putting it in its proper place and holding it down and not manifesting it where it will only do harm. Anger is unrighteous when it's unregulated. In what ways does it need to be regulated? Now the next slide, please. When it's too frequent. Our anger is unrighteous when it's too frequent. You're angry too often. You're angry, and then a few minutes later, you're angry again, and then a few minutes later, you're angry again, and it's not even breakfast yet. That's right. It's too frequent. Anger that frequent is not all righteous. I guarantee you, it is not all righteous. Righteous anger is not too frequent. Let me show you a man whose anger is too frequent. Here he is in Proverbs 29, 22. A man of wrath. Whew, that's loaded. Look at that. There is such a thing as a man or a woman. Here it's a man. A man of wrath. That guy right there, he is a man of wrath. Drop him into anywhere, there's going to be wrath. Marry him to that woman, there's going to be wrath. Marry him to the other woman, there's going to be wrath. Let him have those kids, there's going to be wrath. Put him in that circumstance, it'll be wrath, because he is a man of wrath. It is his character, it is his identity, it's who he is. A man of wrath, what happens? Stirs up strife. Wherever he goes, there's going to be trouble. Wherever he goes, there's going to be strife, because he's a man of wrath. Oh, you followers of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, please do not be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl of wrath. Be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl of patience and self-control and prudence and wisdom. But here's a man of wrath. It's too frequent, so that he's characterized by it. He stirs up strife. And one given to anger causes much transgression. He's a man who's also given to anger. There are other things a person might be given to. In Romans 12, it says, be given to hospitality. What does that mean? You're really, really, really into hospitality. You're really, really, really being hospitable. But here there's a man who's given to anger. What does that mean? He's really, really, really into anger. He's angry and angry and angry and angry and angry. And that causes much transgression, the harm done by that man of wrath, the harm done by that woman of wrath. Best thing you can say about him or her is, well, they're consistent. But they're consistently angry. It's too often. Don't be a man of wrath. May the grace of God deliver you. And it can. There's good news to every bit of this sermon. It can. The word of God in the hands of the Spirit of God in your soul can deliver you from that anger. It really can. Here's a second time that anger is unrighteous and unregulated when it's too fast. First, too frequent. Next, too fast. You got a short fuse. And it lights easily. And it lights quickly. That's going to be trouble. And that's not godly. It's not godly because it's not like God. What is God like? We saw earlier that God is angry with the wicked every day. What's his anger like? How fast is it? Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. Here it is, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Man, is God slow to anger, or we would have all perished long ago, right? God is slow to anger. And you want to be like him. That's godly. It should take a long time. It should be hard for them to make you angry. They would have to take a flamethrower of torment and point it at you point blank and fire it at you for 7 hours to try and light your fuse. And still, maybe, they don't succeed. Some people are just angry, man. They have a short fuse. Here's a verse about this too. Too fast. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense, that's wisdom, that's prudence. Good sense, because you know what will happen if you don't. Good sense makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. It's not his glory to say, I take vengeance on everybody who messes with me. It's not his glory to say, I get even. No, it's his glory to overlook an offense. Look how that guy just overlooked that. Look at how she just absorbed that. It's a glory to them. A good sense makes one slow to anger, but some people have a short fuse. Back in 1995, Debbie and I moved into a rental property on Mountain Road. It sits right on Mountain Road. Our driveway went down, there's Mountain Road, and you had to turn left or right. And to get out of there in the morning was impossible because everybody in Falston was headed that way to I-95, right? Or Bel Air or I-95. And just a long, steady, unending stream of cars. And I'm sitting there one morning, and you had to take your chance. You had to step on it and get in any little gap that somebody gave you. So some guy gave me a gap. It was a car length and a half, two car length. I don't know what it was, but I shot out into that gap. Well, the guy right behind me, the guy I shot out in front of, he pulled up on the shoulder beside me. We're both driving along on the shoulder. He's driving over there, and I look over, and he's screaming at me and gesticulating, and the blood vessels are standing out in his neck. This is at 7 a.m. That's a man given to anger. I just backed away, gave him a lot of space. And I thought, that man probably has a wife. Poor woman. Too fast. Here's another verse about that, Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry. Angry. Why? For anger lodges, here it is, it's God saying this, in the heart of fools. If you're quick to anger, you're being a fool. You're just going to damage, and then wonder what went wrong. Too fast. I want to give you another verse on this. This one's famous. You ought to memorize it. I did many, many, many years ago, and I still know it, and I still love it. James 1, 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. King James, wrath, same thing. Why? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There's going to be transgression, there's going to be sin, there's going to be harm, there's going to be damage. So be quick to hear. You're a good listener. Be slow to speak. You can hold your tongue, let them talk. Slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce righteousness. Slow, not quick. Why? One more verse on this, Proverbs 14:17. Because a man of quick temper acts foolishly. When you're acting out of anger, when you're acting out of wrath, you act poorly. You'll make bad decisions. You'll do things that hurt the people you love. You'll damage the people who depend on you for your love. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, too fast. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if your anger is too fast, you can change that. The power of the Word of God in the hands of the Spirit of God in your soul. We'll talk about this more later, but I want to say it as we go. You can change that. That can change. You're not a victim. You're not stuck. It's not just the way you are. You can change by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in your soul. Here's another time when anger is sinful. Number three, when it's too intense. Like, that doesn't call for this. This anger is not justly derived from that. Maybe a little anger was called for. Maybe a little. But you're like, she burned your toast, and you burned the house down, and you destroyed your marriage, and you ruined everything. A foolish woman, the proverb says, pulls down her house with her own hands. So a man or a woman can do that. It's just too intense. It doesn't fit. It isn't right. It's never going to help anybody. Don't let your anger get that tense unless, you know, an evil person is after your grandchild. Then get angry. Then get dangerous. But only then. Here's another time when our anger is sinful and forbidden. Four, when it is vented. When it is vented without control. In our day, some people encourage venting your anger, but listen to what God says about that. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. It's in there and it's coming out. This is the way I am. I let it rip. I tell the truth. Yeah, and you're damaging everybody. But a wise man quietly holds it back. I can just hold that back. I don't need to give them a piece of my mind. I just hold it back. Anger is sinful when it's vented. I know some in psychology, not all, but some in psychology in our day encourage ventilation. Go to your room and scream. That's not what God says. Some group therapy sessions are allegedly a, quote, safe space where you can go and ventilate and get it out. You can curse and swear, and when you're done, everybody will applaud. Yay, he got it out. Terrible. Terrible. Not God's will at all. Sometimes the angry person is encouraged to ventilate in physical ways, like take a pillow, imagine it's them, and beat it, and swear at it, and stab it. Feathers are going around the room. It's a ritual murder. You know, anger, by the way, under which of the Ten Commandments does anger hang? Every other sin in the Bible hangs under one of the ten, comes from one of the ten. Works toward the sin for be given in the ten. It's the sin of murder. You shall not murder. Anger comes under murder. Anger unrestrained will go to murder. Anger is murder, not quite there yet. It's a ritual murder when you beat your pillow. And with some in psychology in our day, not all, but some, if you lack biblical self-control and you ventilate your anger right at the offender, they are supposed to affirm your anger. And if they don't, you help them do their part. You demand that they affirm your anger. My emotions are legitimate. You need to affirm them. No, you don't. You are free to admonish them. You are free to reprove them. You are free to rebuke them. You are free to exhort them. Their anger is unjust. You should not have to experience what they're doing to you, much less validate it, much less affirm it. They should be reproved. A fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Memorize that. If you're the one who's giving vent to your spirit, memorize that. Meditate on it many times every day. Fall on your face, get on your knees, and beg God, oh God, change me. Take that from me. May the power of the Spirit of God make me a patient, gentle, cheerful, problem-solving man. I don't attack the person, I attack the problem, and we fix it, and we negotiate, and we get it worked out, and we move ahead together. No, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. Here's another way that anger becomes sinful and unrighteous. It's my last one, right? It is. It's the opposite of ventilating. It's when you just bottle it up and bottle it up and bottle it up and bottle it. It's not that you're absorbing it and it dissipates. It's not that you're able to just cover that with a blanket of love. I won't get offended about that. It's okay. I still love them. But you're bottling up anger, and then you're bottling up more anger. How much anger can you stuff in the bottle before it explodes? Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down on your anger. What's that mean? Don't bottle it, and you're still angry tomorrow, and you're still angry the next day, and you're still angry the next day. The verse goes on to say, neither give the devil an opportunity. An opportunity for what? To damage? An opportunity for your anger to harden into bitterness? Remember, bitterness is what's directly downstream from anger. If you put anger in the crock pot of your soul and turn it up to high, what do you get? Bitterness. So don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Okay, so some anger is righteous, most of ours is not. Some scriptures seem to forbid it all because most of ours is not. Other scriptures allow for anger, but strictly regulated. What do I want to do instead of anger? Remember, we're putting off, and we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind, scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're putting on. What do we put on instead of anger? Instead of being an angry man, what do I want to be? Here, I'll give you this sentence. Instead of anger, put on cheerful. You can remain cheerful. Thoughtful. Anger is never thoughtful. You can be cheerful, thoughtful, patient, fruit of the Spirit is patience, self-controlled, fruit of the Spirit, problem solver. Here's what I mean. So you're with somebody else and they are angry at you. Or you're feeling you might get angry at them. What do? Obviously, there's something we differ on. Nobody be angry if we all agreed. There's something we differ on. Let's identify. Let's figure out what is the thing we differ on. Let's sit it on the table in between us. Now, I'm not attacking you and you're not attacking me. We're working together on the problem, on the difference. Let me make up a ridiculous difference. So let's say she wants you to take the family on vacation for a year. And you say, there's no money for a weekend. All right, now there's a difference. Now, It won't do any good at all to get angry at somebody. What you need to do is just forget all the dust that's in the air, all the anger, all the words, all the you know, accusations, whatever. Drop all that and say, all right, what do we differ on? Let's boil it down. What's the thing? Okay, we differ on vacation time. Let's negotiate. Let's talk. You talk and I'll listen. You talk and I'll listen. Help me understand your point of view. I want to understand my. I want you to understand my point of view. And you negotiate. Some people will not. Some people, it's my way or highway. Either you give me what I want or you're evil when I attack you. Some people are like that. Don't you be like that. No, instead of anger, put on cheerful. Your pleasure to be around when there's a difference. Thoughtful, patient, self-controlled, problem solver. Sometimes you can't. They won't negotiate. They're mad and they want to attack. Here's a good verse for that, by the way, Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, if possible. So far as it depends on you, you do your part. You can't make them do theirs. If they have a will to be angry, you can't stop them. Probably best just leave. Just go somewhere else. But instead of anger, put on that cheerful, thoughtful, patient, self-controlled problem solver. So what I'm going to tell you to do, if this is you, you got anger issues. The Spirit of God is putting his finger on it. You need to deal with this. Here's what you need to do. I've given you a whole bevy of different verses that look at it from different angles today. Pick out the scriptures that spoke to you. Memorize them. I'm terrible at memorizing. All right, you need some 3x5 cards or your lock screen or something where you're going to see it over and over and over. And every time you see it, pray, oh, Father, make me like that. Or take that away from me and pray it in and meditate on it. Memorize on it. Get a prayer partner. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Their prayer will be something God will use to help change you. Enlist a prayer partner in this. And do not, please do not think, well, I guess I'm just an angry man. I'll just have to be an angry man until I die. No, you don't. You can be freed from that anger, the power of the Word of God. Now, let me say, I know, we know, modern psychology tells us, and I believe it's correct in this, some people are just about born angry. So are you familiar with the big 5 psychometric personality test? And they rate you on 5 spectrums. And I believe credible psychologists tell us, I think they're right, that these are the only 5 things we can really measure. So forget Enneagram, forget Myers-Briggs even, forget what are some of the others, I don't even remember. But the big 5 is reliable. And one of the things they measure you on is a spectrum called N is the first letter, neuroticism. And so if you score very high in that, you have a cluster of what they call negative emotions, and it's you. And you come to Christ and you still have those. And the negative emotions are anger, depression, anxiety, fear. You have a lot of those things. Some people have none of those. They score 0. Other people score 89. And the person who scores 89, it's not fair. God's not an equal opportunity dispenser of what you're going to be like. It's not fair, but you are going to struggle. Anger is going to be an issue for you. All your life, you're never going to get rid of it. The Puritans talked about something that they called your bosom sins. And everybody has their own. Some people have as their bosom sin those things. Anger, depression, anxiety, fear, a cluster of those things. They always travel together. If you got one, you got the others. But you can't say, so it's just the way I am. Because the Word of God and the Spirit of God's hands is more powerful than your temperament, is more powerful than your personality. And the good news is you can change. Let me give you a goal. Here's a goal that you might have. Here's a goal that you might state to me. You might say to me, Steve, it would be very hard and maybe impossible for you to make me angry. Get a t-shirt. Walk around in that. Don't. That's a good place to be. I know that wherever I go, whoever I'm with, it would be very difficult for them to possibly make me angry. Now, I'll just confess to you that on that neuroticism scale, 100%, you're an institutionalized. 85%, you're an angry person, but you're in Christ now and you got some dealing with it to do. I just confess to you, on that scale, I score zero. No credit to me. It's not like I was angry and somehow I overcame it. Wow, Steve, you're amazing. No, I just don't experience that thing called anger. I even feel sometimes like this is a flaw. There's something wrong with me. Why do I not feel anger? Some of you are saying, be grateful, man, be grateful. I was talking to my dad about this last week. We were talking about this sermon that's coming up. And he said, you know, I'm the same way. I never get angry. And then he said, and his father, my grandfather, was the same way. Never gets angry. See, it was just kind of handed down to me. It's not like I went to work in the Word of God and changed my soul. Some of you aren't blessed with that. Some of you score high. You're going to have to work hard. I'm on your team. I love you. I would like to shepherd you in that. I'm not going to affirm your anger, but I embrace you, and your brothers and sisters in Christ will too. And we all have our own bosom sins, and we're not talking about what mine are today. Impatience, which can be close to anger, right? But it's different. Impatience, certainly one of them. But you can change by the power of the Word of God. Let me give you a bottom line. So please seek the Lord's face to become a cheerful, patient, self-controlled problem solver to the glory of God. You're a man, you have a wife, you have some kids. Here's a good goal. I don't want them to ever experience my anger again. Your wife, you have a husband, some kids, here's a good goal. I don't want him or them to ever experience my anger again. Now, a mother with kids, that's a tall order, right? Let's be realistic, that's a tall order. But there's a good goal. I don't want them to experience at least unrighteous anger from me, too much, too fast, et cetera, too intense. No, I want to become a cheerful, patient, self-controlled problem solver to the glory of God. So when there's a situation that's going on and somebody's getting angry and you walk in the room, they go, ah, she's here. Ah, he's here. He knows how to problem solve. She knows how to fix this. She knows how to reason with this and make it better. Ah, she's here. You be the one that they're glad she's here. You be the one that they're glad he's here. To the glory of Jesus Christ, your Savior, and to the blessing of everybody around you. May it be. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this time in your holy word. We ask that it may convict some here today of their sin and their need for Jesus Christ to be their God, their Lord, their Savior. Oh, Father, would you cause knees to bow in this place? Would you cause tongues to confess that Jesus is now Lord to the glory of God the Father? We who are your blood-bought, forgiven children, we thank you so much for the grace that is found in Christ. All our sins, even our sins of anger, have been pardoned and forgiven. We bear them no more. But Father, we want to become indeed what we are now in your sight. And so we pray that you would give us more of the fruit of the Spirit, more of that patience, more of that self-control. We have brothers and sisters in this room who are no doubt angry people, and we pray especially for them. Oh Lord, will you draw near to them in these days and change their souls? For we ask in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving, amen.